From The Rats in the Walls by H.P. Lovecraft. Through all this horror, my cat stalked unperturbed. Once I saw him monstrously perched atop a mountain of bones and wondered at the secrets that might lie behind his yellow eyes. This is Gothic. Season 5 of the Gothic Podcast may contain material not suitable for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Hey there, Sojourners, and welcome back to the Gothic Podcast. We're starting a new role-playing game tonight, but of course we are continuing with the same story. So if you have not been listening to Season 5, go back and start that. If you have not been listening to anything, well, welcome. You could probably get by, but but welcome.
You picked a weird place to start. Yeah.
A real weird place to start. You should definitely go back to Season 1 and come back here when you're done. Welcome back.
Person who just went back and binged our whole back catalog.
Person who just went back and managed to listen to all of the episodes so fast.
I'm sure all of you have done that. All of you listeners.
Tonight we have our regulars. We have Sharon.
Me.
We have Jesse.
Hello.
And we have Eric.
Howdy.
And if you haven't guessed, we are going to be playing the Cats of Cthulhu RPG for the next few episodes in the second of our mini arcs for Season 5. But before we get into that, anything exciting happening? Jesse, anything coming up in your world?
Not really at the moment. Not until June, anyway. I'm doing the Shakespeare Fest for Beaverton again.
Excellent.
Is that on the library lawn again, Jesse?
Yes.
So if you're in the Pacific Northwest, pop on over to Beaverton and catch some Shakespeare in June. What about you, Sharon?
Wine club release at the winery I work at is coming up early in May. Don't miss it.
Do they also release like a wine diamond and a wine spade, wine hearts?
Yes. Yes, wine hearts.
Well, I also know that there's a new REI opening up there this weekend.
That's true. There's a new REI opening up in Beaverton.
And if REI would like to sponsor the Gothic Podcast,
we'll start doing advertisements.
And we can all get really awesome kayaks.
Oh my God, that is so awesome.
But until REI decides to sponsor the Gothic Podcast, you can join our Patreon to help us stay on the air.
Help us get awesome kayaks. I mean, stay on the air. Yeah.
Any little bit helps.
What about you, Patrick? Anything exciting happening in your life recently?
Well, I was going to ask Eric first.
Oh, yes, Eric first.
If you have to bring it up, then yes, my car caught on fire in my driveway. The car that I only had for a couple of months and had just finished fully re-outfitting because it was a lifted off-road capable Prius. We just replaced all of the shocks all the way around.
Jurassic Park decals on the doors.
Park decals on the side of this bright green Prius with this light bar and everything. And backed into my parking spot too close to the house because I don't normally park that close to the house. But this time, for some reason, I backed too far. So that came in handy a little bit later. We did get the roof of the house watered down until the fire department showed up, so the house did not burn down. But yay. I just parked, and then there was a car alarm, and I looked outside, and there were flames. We were able to find fire extinguishers,
but they were empty.
They were empty.
And yeah, so yeah, that was not fun. And I'm still a little triggered by seeing a Prius. And I live in the Pacific Northwest, where the Prius is like the second most popular car after the Subaru.
Yeah, when I tell you that he was like, oh, my, you know, something happened to my car. And I go, what? And he sends me this picture. This wasn't just a little bit on fire. This car was like engulfed in flames that were
It was like the car was made of magnesium.
Yeah, it was absurd. It was so, it was extremely on fire.
The gas tank didn't go, but
it probably melted, probably vaporized.
Just vaporized, like the carbon fiber hood.
Yeah, the carbon fiber hood, just nowhere to be found after that.
Nowhere. Yeah, no, there's a little bit of mesh.
Interior of the car is just like twisted bits of metal.
You can still see where the radio was.
It's so weird. Yeah.
So join our Patreon, everybody. Please, please join our Patreon. There's a $1 level. Any little bit help. Eric, what do you got happening in your world?
Well, I don't have any performances or wine openings unless you want to know about renewable supply chain. I'm not really a wealth of happenings.
Do you have a flammable car?
Sadly, I'm sure I do. And perhaps I'm going to go move them further from the house.
Ha, 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 ha. Oh, wait. Okay. Well,
oh, man.
Now that I'm traumatized and we are 5 minutes or so into the episode. Good night, everybody, and we'll see you next time.
See you next time.
The Gothic Podcast. Oh, wait, to probably do an episode. All right. When last we left our intrepid adventurers, they had used powerful magic in order to transform themselves into cats in order to infiltrate the depths of Fizzy's cozy kitten bookstore.
I almost just said lifting drinks. I can't believe we haven't made that joke yet.
Fizzy lifting drinks.
Creepiest kids movie ever, and that's saying something.
In order to stop the breaching of the universes by the cult of Lazarus Kane. But what do they need to do that? How do they need to go about it? How can they get into Fizzy's, which is protected magically? Well, all they know is that as cats, they can do it, and as humans, they could not. But they don't know the details. So now, we begin. Let's meet our cats once more. Let's start with Sharon. What's your cat?
My cat is a mixed breed, short hair. She has golden eyes. She's one of those really long, lean, slender cats that just looks kind of like an alien. Big bat ears that stand up real tall, and a dark smoke-colored coat. One of those coats that looks like it would have been a tabby if the rest of the coat was lighter. Just very, very dark, verging on black. Her name is Partita, and she is currently standing on the balustrade on top of a widow's walk on top of a home in downtown in the town that we're in.
Lazarus Bay.
Yes, thank you.
Sounds like she's about to spring off and run across the moor.
Just to circle it all back, running across the moor under a full moon.
We will come to the other cats momentarily, but right now, let's join Partita there upon her balustrade, running across beneath the glowing light of the moon. Clouds scudding across the sky. Around you, the night is different than what it was as a human. The night is alive with sounds. There are the sounds of prey in the air, in the eaves, in the bushes below you on the ground. There is a brightness to the night that you did not have as a human. You can see better. Clearer, maybe not in as many colors, but you can see further than your human self could have. But you are startled because you are in the midst of stride, and now you are also Dr. Grace, because that is the essence, which is now left the bodies of the mystery murder mavens.
Mm-hmm.
Murder mystery mavens? Maven, murder mystery mavens. And entered this cat. So, you are a catcrobat. Your instincts are very good.
Mm-hmm.
It is only because of this distraction of you consciously now thinking as Dr. Grace that you're going to need to make our first challenge roll of the evening. Now, in Cats of Cthulhu, our players will be rolling 2 6-sided dice. They are looking for happy cats, which is a 3 through 6 on a 6-sided dice. Sad cats are 1s or 2s. And I am going to say that this is a difficult challenge.
Okay.
Which means you need 2 happy cat successes, but you get one automatically because you are the right cat for the job.
Okay, so I get one automatically and I'm rolling 2 more. Is that correct?
You are rolling 2 more.
A difficult challenge?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Let's go for this. Now, is this a game where I should decide if I'm going to... Well, this wouldn't be a dire challenge, would it?
No. Currently, you don't need to probably spend any treats or anything. Now,
okay.
With a treat, you can re-roll all of your dice. You get 1 treat to start.
Mm-hmm.
You can also spend your precious, precious lives. And you can spend your lives to do a couple of different things. But primarily, it lets you roll a 3rd die. We'll get into more of that if you ever have to use up a life. Here's the thing. Your cats have been cruising along, living their lives for a while. So I need you, Sharon.
Mm-hmm.
To roll me a 1d6 to find out how many lives you have. Do you want it to be how many lives you have spent or how many lives you have left?
Can I decide after I roll?
No, you cannot.
Okay. Let's do how many I have spent.
Okay.
3.
Okay. So you have 6 lives left.
Marking that on my sheet. 6 lives left.
You can gain treats by doing cool things. If you don't have any treats, you can also gain a treat by getting a human to pet you exactly 3 times. Less doesn't do it. More doesn't do it.
It has to be 3.
Now that we have established these things, as you run across this railing and are startled by new consciousness, what do you get?
I will take a picture if you wish. I have rolled 6s.
Oh, that
yes!
That is what is called midnight.
Nice.
Because midnight is good for cats.
Mm-hmm.
So you get to tell us how cool this looks.
I think it's like mid-air that this cat kind of suddenly, the graceful arc of the cat leaping from house to house, suddenly turns into a flail. It does that thing where the tail spin like helicopters around, and the cat does a full like barrel roll in the air, lands on the next house, the back is arched, the tail is poofy, and she does that thing where she kind of like dances sideways across the roof a little bit, looks down at herself, prances again experimentally, and then jumps back across to the original roof and then back to the roof that she landed on.
As you land that 2nd time, what's Dr. Grace thinking?
This is going to be much nicer than being a little old lady.
And as you meow, you hear a voice, a human voice from down below on the ground. And normally a human voice to cats just sounds like something like that.
Wah, 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 wah.
Well, those weird kittens.
You, because you are Dr. Grace,
mm-hmm.
a human in cat form.
Human in cat's clothing.
You quite understand, and even if you didn't, you feel the tenseness of your cat self, of Partida.
Mm-hmm.
And Partida feels threat, and you hear a voice from down below say, I see you now. I'll get you. I'll get you. And you will go right to the pound where you belong. You look down and you see a fellow wearing a long white buttoned up, kind of like a cross between a coat and a doctor's scrubs. And he's got this like net in his hand. And parked nearby is a big white panel van with the words Lazarus Bay Animal Control on the side. With this threat now spotted, we're going to go over to our poofy fancy cat. Would you like to describe your cat to us, Jesse?
I would love to.
Can I just say I've been waiting for this moment?
We all have been waiting for this moment. This is going to be the most majestic cat to ever grace a podcast.
This is an absolutely beautiful cat. Just a hint to the viewers, I do love Blue Russians. I am allergic to them like crazy, but I love Blue Russians. This is actually a long-haired Blue Russian, also known as a Nebelung.
I'm partial to White Russians myself.
A Nebelung?
A Nebelung, or Nebeling, I think is how some people pronounce it. They are basically a long-haired Blue Russian. They have that blue-black fur, so it kind of like changes in the light. Mr. Midnight is got that. He's got that long hair, flowy, blue-black kind of thing. Very, very bright green eyes. And Mr. Midnight is a diva cat. This is a show cat. This is the mayor's wife's cat. This is the cat that goes to all of the shows and has won many medals. They're up there on the wall as Mr. Midnight stretches from this long nap and suddenly has a different voice in the head. And it's LJ, but it's not LJ. It is Mr. Midnight. Mr. Midnight looks around and goes, oh, dude, I need to find my friends. And starts looking for an exit.
I love Mr. Midnight so much.
Sojourners, you'll be able to see pictures of what our players envision their cats to look like on our Instagram feed.
Woohoo! Woo!
Now, Mr. Midnight, LJ, you start looking for an exit, but Mr. Midnight knows it's that time of night. It's that time when the mayor's wife comes in. You don't know her name. Who cares what humans' names are? And she is holding the pointy happy thing. You know, the thing that she brushes you with for 155 strokes every night. This very fancy gold-plated cat brush. The pointy happy thing. She's saying, oh, Mr. Midnight, oh, now it's time for your nightly brushing. Come on, Mr. Midnight. Oh, where are you going? And she goes to grab you up. What do you do?
Oh, dude, I don't have time for this. I look a little panicked and might be out of character from what she's used to. But as soon as that door opens, jets for the door.
Okay. Now, this is an interior door of the house. It's not like she's coming in from outside with a gold-plated cat brush.
I assume I didn't see any like open windows or anything at the moment. She just came in through the door with this great brush. I want the brush. Something in me really wants to be combed right now. But I also need to find my friends.
You're going to try to escape being grabbed.
Yes.
All right. So I am going to make a grab attack on you. And so we are going to do an opposed roll.
Oh, fun.
This is a scrapping roll. So we're going to each roll two cat dice. We are going to compare those and see where we're at. Now, you have a good chance here because your successes are 3 through 6. Even if I roll 3 through 6, that's a good thing for you.
Yay for me.
Here we go. Oh, I rolled a sad cat. Oh, and a happy cat. I rolled one sad cat, which is bad for you.
It's all bad for me.
What'd you get?
I rolled a 1 and a 2.
Oh no. I rolled two sad cats.
All right. You do have one treat. You could spend it to re-roll, or you could save it.
Have your treat back, lady.
I will sacrifice my treat then.
So reroll.
Reroll both?
Yes.
Oh, that is midnight. Bitches.
Yeah!
Wow. Off to a hot start.
We have
that is
two
Mr.
Midnights.
Midnight to you. I lose my
Mr.
treat,
midnight
though.
Mr. Midnight with the midnight.
You can choose to dodge, stun, shove, grab, hurt.
All about the dodge at this point. Just trying to get away and get to my friends.
Figured you might go that route. You dodge out of the way and zip through the door that you know leads to the place of good smells and tasty scraps on the floor, the kitchen. And you bolt into the kitchen as the door, which is a swinging door, kind of swings shut behind you. And you hear her yell out, "Mr. Midnight, come back here. What's gotten into you?" And at that, we will go elsewhere in Lazarus Bay. We will go to a garbage pile in an alley and meet Eric's cat.
Sploosh.
I love how you were so nonchalant about it. Sploosh.
Sploosh.
So we just saw Sploosh erupt from a trash can after, like, showering some cans and whatnot out. Sploosh is an enormous tortoise shell cat, a female cat, which might be causing Sloshy a little bit of confusion. Less confusion after his late out-of-body experiences that he's been having. Sploosh is just the epitome of a mean-looking alley cat. Just ready to hiss and rip into anything that gets in her way or tries to touch her when she doesn't want it.
What is Sloshy thinking as Sploosh comes up out of this pile of garbage?
Dang it. Why do I keep getting put into these weird shapes?
And as Sploosh comes up and as Sloshy kind of looks around, there is another presence here in the alley. Your senses, Sploosh's senses, are highly tuned. You feel the threat before you see it, and you know which way to turn because you are a scrapper. And you turn and you see a narrow face with a kind of a black nose at the end of this narrow muzzle, these eyes glinting behind a long, sleek body behind that, followed by a naked rat-like tail almost, as this possum is standing there on its back legs, its front legs kind of, you know, its tiny front legs going, there's a motion that goes with the sojourners, but
it's like if a T-Rex was playing a Chopin.
It takes you a moment, Sploosh, Sloshy, to realize that you understand what the possum is saying. It's both through the sounds that it's making and the motions it's making with its fingers, with its nose, with its whiskers, with the way that the fur is bristling. All of this is language to you. It says,
"Get away from my food, my lunch, or I'll kill you. I'll rip you from end to end. I'll tear your eyes out and put your ears where they used to be. And then I'm going to tie you all up with your tail and eat your whiskers, except I'll choke them back out because they're ugly."
What do you do?
I think you should just try it. Bless your heart. But I got other places to be.
So.
Yeah, Sploosh wants to get out of here, actually, and proceed. I mean, because Sloshy knows that he's got somewhere to be.
Sure. It seems like you might be able to just head out. You turn, the possum says,
"That's right, run away, you cowards! Yeah, you wouldn't want to stick around and fight me. I'm the boss of this here alley. You'll bow before me, King Possum."
Yeah, I don't think neither Sploosh nor Sloshy can take that one lying down.
Run away!
I think that needs at least a swipe on the way out.
Okay, So that makes you the sort of aggressor in this one.
Yeah.
Which only matters in when I'm looking at my scrapping results in my book.
Okay.
But again, we will do an opposed roll.
I am, yes, the right cat for this job.
You are absolutely the right cat for this job. If Mr. Midnight had gone with, you know, somehow trying to...
Cuting his way out of it.
Cute his way out, then that would have been the right cat for that job. But you are definitely a scrapper, and so you're going to get one automatic success.
Okay. I got a 6 and a 3 on the dice.
And I only have happy cat faces over here, so nothing good for me.
All right.
What's it look like? It's not as magnificent as our other midnights, but how do you make this happen?
Yeah, okay. So I think that the result I'm going for is not to actually hurt the thing, but to show it who's boss. So I'm going to go for stun.
Okay.
And basically, Sploosh just darts out a massive paw without extending claws and just slaps the possum in the face and knocks it off of its trash pile and into the wall.
Okay. You swipe at him and get him across the face, and he lunges backwards, kind of sliding a bit, and yeah, winds up by the wall. But yeah, so he's there. He shakes his little pointy head a little bit, and then you are off and headed away. So let's go back to Partida.
So is the animal control after me?
He is looking right at you. He has night vision goggles on.
That seems excessive.
It's a SWAT team of animal control.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm up here, and he's down there, and I think I want to stay up here.
He pulls out from his pocket a baggie, and he opens it.
I turn and leave.
And suddenly, there is this scent that just encompasses you. It's like a hug. It's like rolling in newly cut hay. It's like capturing a mouse. It's like every good thing in the world all together. It is catnip. I'm going to need you,
my only weakness,
to try to escape this catnip.
All right.
And this is a difficult challenge, for it is catnip.
Okay.
And you are not the right cat for the job.
Is there a right cat to resist catnip?
I know.
There is no right cat to resist catnip.
Yeah, what kind of challenge would that be? How about a cat possessed by a human scientist? Is that the right cat to resist catnip? I know what that is. I recognize it.
Yeah, but Dr. Grace doesn't. So for Dr. Grace, it's like the lab in the middle of the night when you've just had the revelation that you need in order to fix the problem that you've been thinking of for so long. It's a beer with LJ and Jacob. It's all the good things.
What were those things we ate in the cafe in the eatery that we met at with the waitress whose shirt said Macon, Missouri, it's a place?
It would have been a breaded tenderloin sandwich.
Oh, okay.
The size of your head. Because breaded tenderloin sandwiches are a big thing in the Midwest.
The more
and they
you
are
know.
All like beaten out and they're like giant. They're like, yeah.
The size of your head.
Huge. They're the size of what's left of my car.
So not much.
Right. Exactly.
Okay.
What's left of the usable parts of my car.
You know, the cat gods giveth and the cat gods taketh away.
Oh.
It's double ones. So we get to experience the full range of our alternative rule tonight. Yeah, that's really bad. Can I spend my treat and re-roll that, or is that out of...
You can't spend a treat on dire challenges.
Wait, this was dire?
No, I'm just telling the Sojourners that are listening what the rules are.
Okay. really, for catnip?
It's a dire challenge. No, but... I am sorry, but because of double ones, you can't use a treat on ones.
Oh, okay.
How embarrassing.
That is unfortunate.
Oh, that is embarrassing.
And with snake eyes,
Or an embarrassing failure.
It is an embarrassing, yeah, it is an embarrassing failure. You get the first chance to describe the improbable and mortifying circumstance that has befallen your cat.
Well, I think probably the most embarrassing thing for this particular cat would be to lose her footing and fall off the roof. You know, just completely ungracefully tumble.
Just biff it.
Like, bounce off a side roof, bounce out of a tree, hit the garbage bin on the way down.
And not land on her feet.
That would be very embarrassing and improbable.
Oh. And you don't land on your feet because you land in a garbage heap. Apparently, there are lots of these in Lazarus Bay.
Maybe it's garbage collection day tomorrow.
Yeah.
Everyone's put their bins out
strike.
This morning.
For a moment, you are there very uncat-like on your back, waggling your feet in the air, a position you don't think that Partida has ever been in her entire cat life.
Just like squirming.
And then there is a net coming down toward you. But we're going to go over to the mayor's house. All right, Mr. Midnight, you're in the kitchen. What do you do?
Is there normally a cat door that I can get out of the house in?
Oh, no. They don't want you going outside where you might get hurt.
Of course they don't.
Or get that beautiful fur or dirty.
Get like nettles or something in your fur.
That would be so not cool. All right. Am I familiar with the helpers around the house and their patterns?
You know, that's a two-footologist kind of thing.
Oh, that's not me.
I'm going to say, though, that I'm going to make this a challenge, but okay. I'll make it a normal one for you. Go ahead and you just need two successes.
That is only one success, and I have no treat.
Then, yeah, you know, there are people that move around the house. There are several, but Mr. Midnight doesn't care as long as he gets fed, as long as he gets brushed. There's no need, as long as he has his cozy little cat bed to curl up on and sleep. There's no need for him to know the patterns of the people in the house.
And LJ is familiar with Mr. Midnight's whole ideology?
Yes.
In that case, Mr. Midnight will find a shadowy area near a door to what he knows is outside and wait until someone opens.
Okay. Well, the mayor's wife has followed you into the kitchen. So you are going to need to find some place to hide. What are you thinking?
Evade, evade.
Where are you thinking that Mr. Midnight might hide? It's a kitchen. There are cabinets.
Oh, in the kitchen or from the kitchen?
In the kitchen. You have gone into the kitchen, and there is a door to the outside. You don't know where it goes outside, but there is a door to the outside. You, LJ, know how to open the door, but you don't know how you could do it as a cat. Mr. Midnight does not know the patterns of people.
Are they turn knobs or are they levers?
It is unfortunately a turny knob.
Dang it. any windows cracked? Glancing around?
There are no windows cracked. The air conditioning is on.
Are there other people in the kitchen?
No one else is in the kitchen right now. In fact, the kitchen is lit. And you see there's a little nook by the door that went into the other room. And in that nook is where all of your cat food and your different brushes, because there's a different brush for you for each day of the week. This is gold brush night. There's also silver and there's some others. But all of your cat stuff is in this nook. But already the swinging door is pushing back this way. As the mayor's wife follows you into the kitchen, what do you do?
So I look back to the mayor's wife, and with a glance, I do kind of the and then walk over towards where all of my stuff is kept and like paw at the door, trying to see
of the cabinet.
It. Yes, of the cabinet where all of Mr. Midnight's stuff is kept. Try to get her to open it.
She looks at you and looks at the cabinet and goes, "Oh, but Mr. Midnight, you just got fed. We can't feed you more. Maybe a treat."
yeah, a lick of the paws and like a comb of the hair kind of thing like a cat would do. And like,
she bends down and fully faces the cabinet and opens the door to the area where you know there are actual cat treats. Not the kind of cat treat you need in order to make a reroll, because you can only get that from a human by getting your three pets.
Yes.
But if you wanted to take advantage of it, her back is completely to you at the moment.
In the cabinet.
She's at the cabinet. She's rummaging around in the cabinet looking for the right treat for you.
Is it possible to push the cabinet closed on her?
No. Okay. It's not that big of a cabinet.
Oh, it's not a big maybe cabinet. Like I don't a have wardrobe. A whole pantry. I'm Mr. Midnight, motherfucker.
Yeah. All right. Nope. I was envisioning a different size cabinet.
No, I didn't ask how big the cabinet was.
Yeah. So this is kind of a pantry like area. So sure, give it a try. It's going to be, I think this is going to be a shove.
Oh, that's more scrapping, isn't it?
I'm going to say it's a shove against the cabinet.
Okay.
I am going to roll a die for the cabinet. And you go ahead already. We're just busting rules left and right here.
It's okay. We extra don't know how to play this game. This is our first time.
Yeah, we didn't even do a session zero with this one.
Scrap away at this cabinet.
Two.
I did get one sad cat face.
I have double threes.
Double threes is good. You get more successes than I did. You shove the doors closed on the pantry. And you hear the mayor's wife kind of fall forward in the pantry a little bit. And she'd go, oh, have it. Oh, goodness, what happened?
I love this. I double back and I start to run through the house and trying to find an open window, an open door, any chance to escape.
All right. Even as you run back into the living room, in the foyer, not far away, the front door is opening and the mayor himself is coming in.
Out the door.
Oh, Mr. Midnight. Oh, hey.
He makes a grab for you.
I will even give a hiss at that.
Another roll. Oh, I got a one and a two. So I got two sad faces.
Oh, a six and a four.
Okay. What do we do on a tie?
Ah, that's a great question.
Let's look.
I feel like I saw something about a tie earlier. But I've scrolled around so much in this.
A tie is a tie with spitting, noise, flying fur, and no other effects. So, what this looks like, Mr. Midnight.
One of those Looney Tunes tornado shapes.
Yes. You are grabbed up by the mayor, and he kind of gets a hold on you, but not a great one. And then suddenly you're just like clawing into him and like running in a big circle around his body. And he's like, you're on his shoulder and you're in his hair. And then you're like, and he's like yelling, Margaret, Margaret, the cat. Oh, God, get it off of me. Get it off. Get the phone. Mr. Midnight, what are you? So we're going to have another one here. He's going to try to grab you again.
Okay. Oh, that's a success and a fail.
I also got a success and a fail. So it continues.
The stalemate goes on.
And because this is continuing, this farce in the foyer.
The mayor's just getting like shredded. He's gonna come out of this.
Scraps of fabric are coming out of the dust cloud.
And we're going to go back to Sploosh. Sploosh, you are free and clear from the possum that had claimed this alley for his own. What are you gonna do?
Sloshy would try to get his bearings and figure out how to get to the cozy kitten.
You are using a lot of different memories here right now. You're having to use your memories as a maven. You're having to use Sloshies. You're having to use Splooshes. And because you're not right downtown, though, it's a little bit more difficult to figure out where you are. This is an alley.
Right, an alley, and he's seeing it from, you know, shin level.
Yeah. Sploosh knows her routes, but you not necessarily. But cats and cats of cat. Cats in Cats of Cthulhu can do something called marking. You get three places you can have marked. Would you like to have marked at some point the cozy kitten?
I think that's plausible. Plausible? Because of all the other cats there. And, you know, when Sploosh was looking to steal some, you know, cat food or cat treats or cat things, that would be a very reasonable place to maraud.
While we are on this mechanical aspect, go ahead and roll 1d6. Do you want this to be how many lives you have left or how many you have burned?
Statistically, it is much more advantageous for the d6 to be lives I have burned.
Yeah, it is, but hey. You guys can do whatever you want. Cats don't do math, according to the book.
And I rolled a 3, so I have 6 lives
left. So you too have 6 left. All right, since you have marked it, it lowers the difficulty of this task. And so it's going to go from normal to easy. So all you need is 1 success.
Alrighty. Double fives.
Nice.
It takes a minute to get used to Sploosh's senses and height, but shortly you allow instincts to take over and you are running through the night toward the cozy kitten. Partida. There's a net coming down at you and your feet are in the air. What do you do?
I want to try to dodge out from under it.
This giant red dice of mine has been rolling really bad for you guys tonight. I feel kind of bad about
that. So would this be a challenge or a scrapping fight?
This would be scrapping. Okay. Because you are definitely trying to evade here.
I got a 3 and a 4.
Those are successes for you, and I rolled happy cat faces over here, so it's successes for you all around.
Yeah, yeah.
And you are able to get to your feet. There is still that enticing smell, which you failed utterly against. but your embarrassing fall took you into garbage, and that smell is also there competing with the smell of the catnip.
It's like smelling salts. It clears my head.
Yeah, a little bit. You are able to bolt away, and the net comes down and comes up with some fish bones and some other things. A decapitated fish of some sort.
Who's to say?
Of a particular sort?
Who knows? Could it be? Could it be? Yeah, Hero Havanus.
I try not to think about it, and I will bolt towards the center of town. I started off my existence as a cat on the rooftops. Can I have gotten a kind of an aerial view of town?
Yes, I will let you be able to kind of think back on that and get an idea of where you are. Mm-hmm. So I will make it an easy challenge for you, too.
Okay, so with an easy... Do I roll 2 and just need 1 success?
You go ahead. You still roll 2. You just need 1 success.
Can I spend my treat? This is dumb. I got 2 failures. I got a 1 and a 2.
Failures are only 1s and 2s, and you are rolling them statistically high tonight.
I know. It's.
But you can use a treat as long as it's not snake eyes.
It's not snake eyes. Use a treat. It's not snake eyes this time.
You can roll them both again.
All right. Come on, Partita.
Are these the bone dice?
No, the bone dice never do well for me when I roll them on air. They roll fine if we're not recording, but as soon as we're recording, they roll terribly. So I got 1 success that time.
Okay. But still 1 failure? Holy crikey.
Yeah, yeah. That's my karmic backlash for starting off with a 6.
You used up all your luck.
I guess. That's just to remember where the cozy kitten is, though, right?
To have seen it and know how to get there from where you are.
Right.
And so you make your way in that direction. As we go back to the mayor's house and the continued...
hilarity.
We return to the mayor's foyer.
And I imagine there's like this back and forth, and I'm hoping... Oh, I bumped my mic. And I'm hoping there's a moment when the mayor's got me like held up in front of him. And I just wrap both paws to the side of his face. And in Mr. Midnight's head, he's all like, I will end you. But what the mayor hears is,
Dude.
Dude.
I need you to do try one more time here.
Trying to convince him to let me go. Ah, that's two successes. Six Woo! And three.
Woohoo. He does. He flings you away from him as you have your paws wrapped around his head. And he's like, ah, get off of me. And then he just throws you out the door.
Like my eyes narrow to those tiny slits and everything and just kind of staring him down. The ears cocked back, tail fluffed up. And then as soon as I get dropped, out the door.
As you go out the door, more or less flung out the door and into the night, Mr. Midnight has never been really outside except on the way to a show or something, but Rosanna has. And you know where the mayor's house is. So I'll make this an easy check for you as well.
As soon as I'm out the door, using Rosanna's knowledge, heading straight for the Cozy Kitten, heading to Fizzy's.
And as all three of you head toward Fizzy's Cozy Kitten Bookshop, we, the viewer, the audience, we see something else. A series of messages come up on our screens, computers, our phones, whatever, sent by a friend, perhaps. We see a cat, four legs up in a garbage dump, and it is captioned, "It's a Monday." And we see a cat wrapped around this caricature of a big fat mayor's face, and we see the caption comes up and goes, "Hang in there." And we see finally this cartoonish drawing of a cat slapping a possum, and it says, "You can has slap." Then we return to Lazarus Bay as all of our cats gather together in front of Fizzy's Cozy Kitten Bookshop. And we'll find out what happens next time on
the Gothic Podcast.
Kitty Podcast.
The Gothic
Meow, 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 meow.
The Gothic
meow,
Kitty. Meow. Yeah.
The Gothic Love it. Kitten.
The Gothic Podcast is a horror and humor actual play audio drama produced by Goblin Brook Manor, LLC. Season 5 of The Gothic Podcast stars C. Patrick Nagel, Sharon Gallery LaFournaise, Jesse Baldwin, and Eric Halbert. Our theme music is by Zoe Hovland, and our logo is by Jared George Art. Liking, sharing, and reviewing us on iTunes really helps us get more listeners. And please consider supporting us on our Patreon or joining the conversation on our Discord channel. Links and more in the show notes. Thanks for joining us in the dark, Sojourners.
Before you say where Sploosh is going to go, I need everybody to decide for themselves where your cat would go to.
Well,
Sloshy's headed for the Cozy Kitten.
Yeah, we were all...
I just told you not to say.
Not to say
oh,
it.
I thought you said to say it. Okay. How about an action shot of Sploosh slapping the possum?
Oh, the possum.
Something like, "I cast fuck off," or something like... Sorry, Jesse.
No. It's funny, but I can't do that one. The Gothic Meow Cast.
The Gothic Meow Cast.
The Gothic Purr Cast.
The Clothic Podcast?
The Clothic Purr Cast.
The Clothic.
In case I actually use one of those, that's why I'm saying them all.